going the distance? How do we keep running in this life of struggle and trouble when at one moment it feels like we're past our struggles, only around the next corner to find another one? How do we persevere? How do we press on? How do we move on? I know all of us have had moments in our life where we feel like things are good, things are okay. We've got a handle on things, quote unquote. We got our arms around the issue or whatever it is. Or there's probably times where we feel close to God and we feel God's presence. We feel like we're following, we're obeying, and God's guiding and leading, and we're right behind. But then there's those moments that creep into our life that maybe are more so than the ones that I just talked about, where we feel a little lost, we feel left behind, we feel like we're struggling. And I know there are times in our life, I know there have been times in my life where I say, I don't know if I'm going to be able to put one foot in front of the other. I don't know if I'm ready to take another step. I've got my hands up in the air and I've said, what? That's it. I can't take this anymore. This parenting thing, this husbanding thing, this work thing, this pastoring thing. I mean, whatever it is for you, we all have those moments in our life where we say, I don't know if I'm ready to go on. And you can fill in the blank with whatever issue that you have, but there are days where this faith thing makes sense, but there's days where our connection to God seems distant. And so we want to figure out today how we can tap into the power of Jesus Christ and the power of God so that we can press on. Or as Bono in U2 says, so that we can walk on. So that we can put one foot in front of the other. So that we can press on. Because that is a promise from God. Having the heart of a champion means living for the long haul. So we want to talk about a long haul life today. We don't want to talk about just the short term. We don't want to talk about just surviving for the second. We don't want to talk about the 3-second sprint. We want to talk about the marathon. We want to talk about the long distance run, because life feels more like a long distance run than it does any 30-second sprint, doesn't it? I mean, it feels like life just keeps coming after you and coming at you, and it's there every mile and every step, and it doesn't seem like there's going to be an end. And the truth is, that's a lot like what life is. And Paul equates that in Philippians. He says this, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Let me ask you a question. Am I on? Can you guys hear me? Okay, good. Well, you're going to decide after the sermon if I was really on today or not, but I was just referring to the level of the volume of my voice. Okay, cool. God promises us something incredible here. We opened this up last week with this concept. You see, what Paul's talking about here is he automatically assumes that there's a prize at the end of his life that he's waiting for. And Paul is living his life here not to finish second, third, or fourth, or fifth place, but he honestly believes that God has promised him that he is destined to what? He's destined to win. He's destined to achieve victory in Jesus Christ. So we established that last week, that the goal of our life is to achieve victory and to give God our best, not to coast through life, not to slide in third, fourth, or fifth place, but to give God our best and to allow Him to achieve victory in us. But He also shares something else important with us that we're going to focus on today. That even though we're promised victory, God, through Paul, also reminds us that it's a long road ahead. It's a long road ahead. And that we've got to press on. And that life's not always going to be easy. Just because we're going to achieve victory someday doesn't mean that life is a rose garden. It means stumbling. It means struggling. Now, I want to do a little game here with you guys. I want to do the sprinter versus the marathon runner game here. Okay, we all watched the Olympic Games. Some of you guys caught it last night. Haven't gotten really the full track and field experience just yet, but that's coming. That's coming for you track and field junkies out there. I'm more of the swimming pool, gymnastic type of junkie, but I like the track and field stuff too, but why do they always wait till like 10 or 11 o'clock at night to throw that stuff on there too? I mean, why can't we get a decent track and field event like at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, right there on TV? I don't know. We get equestrian at 7 or 8 o'clock. Or handball. What is handball? Did you see handball at all? Yes, I caught handball yesterday. What is that? You just run around holding a ball, throwing it in a goal. It doesn't make any sense to me. Okay, how many of you can name a sprinter in the last 20 years in Olympic Games? Just throw out some sprinters' names. Carl Lewis, who else? What's that? Tyson, what's the last? Gay, is that the guy that's running this year? Yeah. How about Ben Johnson? How about some of the lady sprinters? Marion Jones, she's in the clink right now. Right? Jackie Joyner Kersee, right? Was that one? How about another one? You guys know these things. Say it out loud. Gail Devers, yeah. Okay, cool. So we can just like rattle these off at the end of our lips, right? At the end of the tongue. They're just right there, right? They're just right there. We know these people. All right, I want you to name the person that won the gold in the marathon 20 years ago. Who? Oh, possibly. You're not supposed to know this. 100 years ago, 1,000 years, maybe Moses won it. But no, name any long-distance runner that you know of in the last 20 years. Marathon runner. Long-distance sprinter. See, we can rattle off the 30-yard dash, the 100-yard dash, the whatever, the 100 meters, whatever they call it, the short yardage people. Why? Because that's sexy to us. I mean, we like the short term, but we can't name the long term because we don't really always live with the long term mindset. We love the short sprint. Those are the things that are on our mind, and those are the things that we think of. That's the stuff that we get into. But God calls us to be committed to the long haul life, to live beyond just a moment. You see, the sprinter doesn't have to press on. The sprinter doesn't have to think about it halfway through the race. You see, their race is over before their body even tells them they can't go any further. It's just 30 seconds and they're done. It's 3 seconds and they're done. And it's over. There's no need to have to kick it into overdrive. There's no need to go into deep reserves. They just give it all in that moment and then they're done. But you see, a long-distance runner has to deal with endurance. They have to overcome. They have to think about the race halfway through. They have to hit the wall and figure out if they can keep their life and their body moving forward to cross the finish line. And that's what God wants us to consider today. He wants us to think about life as a long-distance run. He wants us to be committed to the long haul. He wants us to figure out how to press on with Him and to walk on. Now, it's interesting here because Paul is a pillar of faith. Paul's a church planter. Paul wrote most of the New Testament as we know it today. Let's just put it this way. Paul was a righteous dude. Okay? I mean, he was close to Jesus. If anybody was, he was. But yet he talks about the need in his life to press on. How about that? You have a biblical scholar here. A guy who's close enough to Jesus Christ that he gives him his word and he records it in Scripture for us to read today. And yet you have a guy here who says, I have to press on in my life. I have to figure out how to put one foot in front of the other. I have to figure out how to live on the promises of Jesus Christ. I have to realize that life is going to be difficult and hard, but I'm going to walk on and I'm going to press on. You see, it is a day-in and day-out challenge in this race for Jesus Christ. And that challenge is against ourselves. That challenge is against the thoughts and the agreements that we have in our own life. And that challenge is against the forces of darkness and Satan in our life. Our challenge isn't against one another. It's not against flesh and blood. We're not in competition with one another. You don't have to lose in order for me to win. As a matter of fact, I'm going to win more in my life if you cross the finish line with me. And Paul realizes all of this. So what can we glean from a long-distance runner today? First of all, a long-distance runner requires endurance. I love this verse in Psalm 125. It says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. I want us to say together that I am like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. I want us to say that right now together. Ready? I am like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. I am like Mount Zion. Are we saying this together now? Ready? I am like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Now, is that something that you believe in your heart, or is that something that you look at and say, I want that in my soul. I want that in my life. You see, God equips us for the journey. He throws it out here. He's saying, this is not something that's unattainable. He says, this is something I've absolutely equipped you with. You just need to lean into my promises. Promises like Psalm 125. Promises like Philippians chapter 3. We need to lean into that promise and then trust Him in the process. Because life is full of hurdles. And life is full of pain that we have to learn to figure out how to tolerate, and burdens that we have to figure out how to carry, and walls that we have to figure out how to climb. There are everyday challenges that challenge our patience and our perseverance and our power, and there's hardship in life. I mean, the Friday we get back from vacation in Gatlinburg, you already know how crazy it is the day you get back from vacation. Mike and Lindsay, you guys understand this, right? You guys tore in here, what, yesterday real late, and now you have to figure out how to jump right back into life. I mean, it's crazy enough. We get back that night, and you know the severe behavioral issues we're dealing with in our family. It's well documented. I let you know that we're in counseling, that we're working with some of our children on this. We had to make a phone call to the police department that night. One of the things that the therapist or the child psychologist that we've been meeting with, family counselor, says is that maybe one of the steps for your child is to invite authority figure into the home if the behavior is out of control to have that experience in their life. And so we had to make that phone call. We had to invite a peace officer to come and have a conversation with one of our children because whether accidentally or purposefully, they struck my wife. They struck Aaron. And I had my hands up in the air. I said, that's it. I can't take this anymore. I mean, I... I mean, I I can't do this parenting thing. I mean, what am I doing here? Am I failing? Am I messing up? I mean, am I living into this moment where I'm just not cut out for this? I don't know if I can walk on. I don't know if I can put one foot in front of the other. You know, that's my issue. What's yours? That's my issue. What's yours? We've all got them, right? I'm an open book up here. I'm not perfect. Paul's not perfect. The guy was a murderer. He messed up 9 times out of 10 in his life, but he knew that he needed to walk on, and he needed this moment in his life. He had to have this Christian endurance because he knew that endurance was elusive. It's not the end thing. You know, we quit on our marriages, we quit on our job, we quit on our families, we quit on our spouses, we quit on our churches, we quit on our responsibilities, we quit on things in life because why? We treat it like it's a 30-second race. Instead of the marathon, putting one foot in front of the other. So I'm as guilty as anybody else. There are moments in my life where I feel like, I don't know if I can go on. I don't know if I can endure this. You know, short bursts of speed just don't do it for our life. They just don't work. You know, we're looking for these quick pick-me-ups in life. If I can just make this new purchase, if I can move into this new relationship, if I can just get myself to this event or this vacation, or if that new check comes in the mail, or if I can get to go on this trip, or if this new job comes through, or, man, if I can just get this change in my life, then all is going to be good. And guess what? We get there, we get our wish, and usually we wind up more miserable on the other side of that than we did where we ever were in our place before that moment. Those things never provide enduring relief for the common struggles of life. But God's promise is that He has a daily supply of power for living. A daily supply of power for living. Life isn't going to slow down. Life isn't going to get any easier. I mean, who buys into the notion that life is going to slow down someday? I mean, there's not a person in this room that said, hey, I know my life is going to slow down. It's going to slow down for about the next year. It's going to get real easy now. Baloney! Now, Woody, you just retired, didn't you? Congratulations, by the way. But you know, you want to know what I heard about retirement? Is you become busier when you're retired than you do when you're working. Life doesn't slow down. Life doesn't get easier. Who's going to raise their hand and say, man, life is easy right now? Woo! I've got it made. I'm going to come and live at your house. I'm going to come and live with you. Because I'm going to watch it change in about 30 seconds. Change in about a minute. Change in about a day. That's what happens in life. We get thrown curveballs, right? So we've got to figure out how to do the long-distance thing. You see, a long-distance runner has to take the time to think about the pain. They have to take the time to deal with their body. They have to take the time to pass by the tears when their body can't move any further. When they've hit the wall, you've heard runners talk about this, when they hit the wall in the run, in the marathon, usually it's about halfway through the race when a runner hits the wall. And hitting the wall means my body just can't take another step forward. And that's the moment where you have to decide in your mind that you're going to overcome your body's weaknesses with the power of your mind or your heart, or you're going to have this inner strength that's just going to carry over your body, and your body's going to obey you instead of you obeying your body. And you see, living in Jesus Christ is a lot like that, because we have the Spirit of God living in us. And it's only through God's Spirit that we're going to be able to walk on and take the next step through whatever it is we're trying to endure or deal with. Whatever hurdle, whatever barrier, whatever wall it is, it's not going to be able to be crossed on our own power. We've already tried that. We've experienced that before. You see, it's reaching into our heart and touching Christ and experiencing His power and His strength. You see, a runner has to push through it. They have to press on. And this inner strength can supply us. In Philippians, Paul says this, I can do all things because I am strong enough on my own. Oh, I'm sorry. He says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You see, I can do all things because it's Christ who gives me strength. He doesn't just say, I can do all things and then puts a period there. That's how some of us live, right? We think we can do it all. We don't talk about where that source is going to come from. We just believe it's going to come from ourselves. Hey, I can do it all. I can do all things. Well, no, he doesn't say that. He says, I can do all things. However, I can only do them through Christ, who, as a matter of fact, is the one that gives me power for living. You see, God is committed to helping you. He's committed to picking you up, carrying you, and helping you press on. And some of us have hit the wall. Some of us are facing hurdles that are too great. We feel like we can't move on. We feel like we're ready to quit. And Paul has something that motivates him when he's been in those moments, that I know will motivate us and help us through those times too. Something to keep him going. In Philippians 3:12, he goes on to say this. Remember, we've already read this. I have not yet reached my goal, and I am not perfect, but Christ has taken hold of me, so I keep on running. Why do I keep on running? Well, because I'm not perfect, and Christ wants to take hold of me. And so I keep on struggling to take hold of the prize. You see, Christ is not done with him yet. Christ hasn't completed his perfect work in him yet. There's more work to do in Paul's life, and that's what keeps him going. He wants Christ to work His perfect work in his life. He wants Christ to fill him with His holiness. He wants Christ to complete His wholeness, His work in his life. Paul wants to get to the point where he's given his entire life to Him, and he's going to press on until that's happened. He's going to press on until God's done with him. And you want to know how we know when God's done with us? when we're floating in the clouds and we walk past those pearly gates and we say, "Hi, Jesus, I guess I'm done on earth because I'm up in heaven now." But until that, God calls us to press on. Why? Because He's not done with us yet. Because He wants to work us to perfection. Now, I know in some churches and in church experiences, our goal is fellowship and hanging out with those that love us, and I'm with that, and I'm all part of that. I love that idea. But our main goal is transformation. Our main goal is that we're different than what we were a year ago. Our goal is that we're closer to Christ, that there's less sin in our life, that there's more of His holiness. And that's the process that Paul is living for right now. So what are you living for? He goes on in Philippians 3:12 to say, "I have not yet reached my goal. I am not perfect, but Christ has taken hold of me. So I keep on running and struggling to take hold of the prize." In Philippians 1:6, he goes on to say, "God is the one who began a good work in you. And I am certain that He won't stop before it is complete on the day that Christ Jesus returns." So see, it's not even Paul's desire to finish. It's both Paul and God's desire for him to finish. You see, God began a great work in you. He put His purpose in you. He put His DNA in you. And you see, now He wants to make it better. He wants you to grow. He wants you to know Him more. He wants you to give more of your life over to Him. He wants you to press on with Him with purpose and to become more like Christ. And you see, that's what keeps you going. And that's what keeps a long-distance runner going, is to realize that they have endurance, that they have this moment in their life that they can reach into and help them cross the finish line. Secondly, a long-distance runner keeps their focus forward. They keep their focus forward. Psalm 3:13. Remember what he said? "Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead." Now that's something simple but profound. I'm forgetting what is behind, but I'm straining towards ahead. What would it look like to have a marathon runner with his head turned like this the whole time? First of all, he's going to pull himself into the bushes and run into a motorcycle. I'm just waiting for one of these motorcycle guys with these cameras to run one of these runners over. I mean, isn't it wild? They got these cars and these bikers and just going in and out of these guys and gals that are running. I mean, who doesn't hit each other? How does that not happen? But they don't turn around. They don't look behind them. Where are they focused? They're focused in the direction of the finish line. They're focused forward. And some of you are saying, but you don't know me. You don't know what kind of past I have. You don't know who I am. You don't know the sins I've committed. You don't know the mistakes I've made. You don't know the sorrow and the shame that I carry and the pain that I carry. John, I'm so stuck in the past right now, I can't take another step forward. And the truth is, you're right, you can't. You're staked to the ground. Satan has got a piece of wood and he's pounded into the ground. He's got a rope tied around it and he's got that end of the rope tied around your ankle and you're stuck. You can't step in front of the other. You can't walk on. You can't press on. You can't put one foot in front of the other. Why? Because you're too busy looking back. And Paul says that will kill you every time in being able to win this race. You ever hear about the story of the elephants in the circus? A little boy walks behind the circus tent to see the elephants, and the elephants are kind of hanging out with their owner and the trainer. Big, huge, beastly animals. And they have this little rope tied around their ankle to a little wooden stake in the ground. And the boy says to the trainer, he says, "You got an emergency here. You've got this huge elephant, and the only thing holding it down is this tiny little rope and this tiny little stake in the ground that even I could pull up." And the trainer says, No. "I've got them secured. They're not going anywhere." And the boy was mesmerized. He says, "How is that possible? I'm talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds worth of animal here and a little tiny stake." And he said, "That's because when the baby was first born, the baby elephant, I put a stake in the ground, I put a rope around its ankle that it couldn't break at that age. And you see, it kept tugging on it at an early age and couldn't break free. So years later, it's made the agreement that it's never going to be able to move forward. It doesn't try anymore. It doesn't try to break free of the chains. It doesn't try to break free of the stake in the ground. It doesn't try to break free of its past." Why? Because it's made an agreement. It's made an agreement that I can't put one more foot in front of the other. It's made an agreement that I can't press on. And sisters and brothers, some of you have made that same agreement. Satan has you staked to the ground because you are carrying your past with you and your past is killing you. It's killing your dreams. It's killing your relationships. It's killing your life. It's killing your experience with Jesus Christ. Don't let that happen anymore. Don't buy into that agreement. You see, you can sanctify your past in Jesus Christ. You can ask God to go back into your past. You can't go back into your past unless you're Michael J. Fox. But God can. Did you know this? God doesn't know any time. You can invite God to go back into that moment and sanctify that moment and say, "God, I can't go back to that, but I want to invite You into that moment. And I want You to clean up that moment in my life. I want to give that to You. I want You to heal that. And I want You to have that because I'm breaking free of these chains, sisters and brothers. I'm pulling the stake out of the ground and I'm going to move forward." Why? Because God wants our best. Watch this movie clip and let's learn how to press on together. You see, we can't press on. We can't put one foot in front of the other if we're tethered to the agreements of the past. You know, the coach was asking him, "Are you going to give me your best? Are we giving God our best? What's keeping us back? What agreements have we made that we need to let go of? The last thing a long-distance runner needs is to picture the finish line. A long-distance runner needs to picture the finish line. They always picture the finish line. And that plays off of point number two. They're not stuck in the past. They're stuck in the future. But they're also focused on the goal and the prize of what's to come. Back in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul said this to us, if you remember, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He says, I'm not just pressing on for any old thing. He says, I'm pressing on for the goal. I'm pressing on for the prize. I'm pressing on for the time that Christ comes back again, that Christ rescues me from this life. I'm pressing on for eternity's sake. You see, a runner doesn't live for the moment. They live for the finish line. And we can't live for the moment either. We've got to live for eternity. We can't make agreements that say, I'm just going to live in this subtle moment and grab whatever pleasure I can for this 30 seconds of my life. We've got to make decisions that allow us to last a lifetime, that we can live this long-haul race so that we can go the distance, so that we can press on, so that we can walk on, and we run this race of life. You see, Paul was persecuted, he was jailed, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was disallowed, disavowed, he was sent away, he was cast away, he was spat upon, he was yelled at, he was hollered at, and in all those moments, he kept going. Why? Because he had his eye on the prize. Because he had his eye on the goal. He had his eye on the finish. The finish line is what kept him going. He was able to press on because of the promises of God. And you can press on because of the promise too. And in the end, it gave him a larger perspective. In Hebrews, it reminds us this. So don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourselves then. It's still a sure thing. But you need to stick it out. Staying with God's plan so you'll be there for the promised completion. It won't be long now. He's on the way. He'll show up most any minute. But anyone who is right with me thrives on loyal trust. If he cuts and runs, I won't be very happy. But we are not quitters who lose out. We're not quitters, are we? We're not quitters who lose out. Oh no. We'll stay with it and survive. Why? Because we'll be trusting all the way. We'll be living on a power that's greater than ourselves. You see, God has a promise for all of us. For those of us who trust in and live in His plan for our life. And that promise is that Christ will come back again and claim His followers someday. And so we can endure in the moment because as long-distance runners, we're not focused on the moment, we're focused on the finish. We can endure in the moment. Why? Because Christ is coming back someday to claim us and to rescue us. We have trust now in God's plan. We can stick with it. We can walk on. We can press on. We can finish. We can run with endurance. We can face forward. And we can run with the focus on the finish line in mind. Why? Because God fills us. And God gives us the victory in Jesus Christ. I want to invite the band to come up for a closing song. And as they're doing that, I want to throw out these three action steps for you. First of all, what is your life issue right now? What issue in your life is getting the best of you? What issue in your life kind of has you staked to the ground and won't let you go like that elephant? Give it to God. Let God sanctify that moment. Sanctify means nothing other than to cleanse, to clean up. Let God take care of that moment. What's holding you back from the victorious life? And that can be linked to the first one. Take a moment and share about it with somebody. Pray with somebody. Talk to them about it. Thirdly, get involved in the back-to-school bash and change your life. We've got an opportunity to get involved in service in the next 2 weeks to change your life. Not just ours, but everybody's life. And I think God could do a new thing through you. Let's close with this song together. It's not just today, it's not just tomorrow, it's every day. Every day we can walk in the power of Jesus Christ. We can press on, we can walk on, we can go the distance. God has promised you victory. And it's up to the choice that we've made in our heart to allow God to guide us there or to try to get there on our own. Go this week, and I pray that God guides you in new and incredible places. Go this week and achieve victory in your life. Have a great week. God bless. Amen.